Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
David Moran, the Area Director of Operations for the Clyde's Restaurant Group, overseeing operations at the Hamilton.
Yes, and we wanted to check in because Hamilton Live is doing a really cool dinner and a movie. It's a free concert movie at that awesome, you know, downstairs basement location underneath the Hamilton. It's one of the coolest rooms in D.C., but the pandemic has halted concerts there for the better part of a year now. So before we get into the actual, you know, this cool new event you guys are doing, explain, you know, what was that process like? You know, take me back to, you know, it was around March this all started. Like, did you guys think that maybe by the fall you'd be back and then suddenly you had to kind of change course? Or, you know, take me through that whole process from the spring and the summer.
Yep. So, I mean, it's certainly like everybody else, it was an overnight cessation of operations. We actually had a concert scheduled. We shut down on Thursday, I forget the day, but like March 12th or something. That Friday night, we had Dweezil Zappa scheduled to perform a show that had been sold out for weeks ahead of time. For us, a pretty high ticket item too. So that was the That was overnight. We pulled that, and literally, I think, you know, at first, like most people, we started delaying our shows probably for about 2 to 3 months, thinking maybe we'd be back on by summer or so. It became pretty obvious pretty quickly soon thereafter, though, that for the most part, 2020 was going to be pretty much wiped out, at least for touring acts. And the room has been shuttered since, you know, March until here we are in early October. And, you know, as you described it, it's not only is it a beautiful room, it's a large room. I mean, in its max capacity, we were doing concerts down there. We had 700 people in the room, and now we're, so as we're getting out of this warmer weather where, you know, we've had the ability to have some tables outside of the sidewalk, we're starting to get concerned about our ability to have revenue in that restaurant. So we looked at downstairs as, well, we knew we were prevented from doing live performances by the mayor's order, which we understand from a health perspective. We want to think about how can we possibly reactivate this room to get it back online, truthfully, not only generate some revenue for us, but to bring some of the 50 staff members who are part of that team back to work. So this is what we did. We came up with this idea of dinner and a movie concert, and then we're showing the movies for free. The one requirement we are asking is that guests do spend $100 at the table on food and beverage. And we have a series starting this Friday with, you know, Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yeah, let's go into the lineup because it's obviously they're all, you know, concert films or music docs. And, right. You know, they're all great famous ones that must see ones if you haven't seen them. I mean, you got to go see them. Let's go just one by one really quick. Just explain why you chose each one. So this Friday, October 9th, you start with Pink Floyd's The Wall. Why open with that awesome one?
Selfishly, it's one of the first ones I saw as a young teenager. I remember the impact it had on me with the graphics and the music. We played it last week just to, you know, first of all, we want to make sure all this technology would work. We wanted to make sure we had good sight lines. It was so visually cool, and it's so well produced from a sound point of view that it just made it seem like a no-brainer and the right way to go. And we're looking forward to that being a real good kickoff.
It definitely will be. And then the next night, this Saturday, October 10th, you have Rolling Stones' Shine a Light, famously directed by the one and only Martin Scorsese.
Absolutely.
Tell us why you picked that one.
You know, we wanted to show something with the Stones, and they've got several of their, you know, concert films out over the years, the Give Me Shelter from Altamont and things. But we watched I took a peek at this one, and I like the way it presented. I love, obviously, the Scorsese touch on it. And I also think it shows these guys at a later state in their career where they may not be as crazy as they once were, but they're the Rolling Stones, and there's a reason they've been called the greatest rock and roll band in the world. Like, they still rock. Those songs are the catalog of lots of our lives, and just couldn't think of a better one to come out with that. And that's almost sold out, by the way. We had that one up on sale for I think about a week now. We almost sold half the tables the day we announced it. So,
Oh, I mean, that's going to be great. And I'm glad you mentioned Gimme Shelter, the 1970 Stones doc, too. That was the Maisels, Albert and David Maisels documentary filmmakers. Maybe our listeners should check that out, you know, stream that this week while you're waiting and then head out and see Shine a Light Saturday. That'd be the perfect 1-2 punch if you're a Stones fan. Or even if you don't think you're a Stones fan, hard to believe, but it may be some young people. Go get yourself educated. That, I mean, it's a Scorsese one. You can't miss it.
Yeah, let me say, and the last thing on that also, you know, that's also shot at the Beacon Theater in New York, which to me also was highlighting a really cool room in a time where all of the venues in this country are struggling. And I thought it was just sort of an added touch to show a really cool, intimate room that I know I've also seen a lot of great shows in over my years, too.
Okay, cool. So then Friday, October 16th. Is Prince Purple Rain. I mean, it almost needs no introduction, but just give me one anyway, because I need a soundbite. Why is Prince Purple Rain the perfect one for the 16th?
You know, I think he's also one of those artists that, you know, we lost at too early in age. And he just, to me, he crosses everybody, all the diversity, not even diversity, but like everybody loves Prince. I don't care where you're from, how old you are. And if you were blessed to have seen him, and I saw him only once in my life, you don't forget that. And, you know, I think I remember seeing Purple Rain the first time. I think I was a young kid again, seeing videos on MTV. And I remember the first time I sat down and watched the entire thing. It's such a great moving plot, too, and a story about him. And then you literally just have some of this iconic music behind him. Again, I think it's going to look and sound great in the room.
It definitely will. Not only the, you know, not only the title song, Purple Rain, but you got just so many incredible, you know, sequences to set to those songs. Like, you know, When Doves Cry is in there, Let's Go Crazy, which is one of my personal favorites of his. That's in there. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall awesomeness. And for my money, still the best Super Bowl halftime performance was
Prince. Right, no doubt.
In the rain, Purple Rain, rest in peace.
Yeah.
And then
I remember watching it thinking, like, how did he do that? How did he make it rain?
Well, it's funny you say that. I remember seeing, you know, those NFL films that they do for the Super Bowls, and the NFL officials were like terrified because a giant storm was moving in, and they came up to Prince and said, "Hey, you know, are you sure you still want to go on?" And he said, "Can you make it rain more?" He's a showman, and he did it all in those like platform heels too, without slipping off stage. It was unbelievable.
Love it.
So yeah, check that out at the Hamilton on the 16th, and then closing it out Saturday, the 17th, an Oscar winning doc. I'll never forget watching this, Amy Winehouse's Amy. Talk about how it's, you know, it's a tragic watch, obviously, almost like you're watching Janis Joplin or something, but, just talk about how it really shines a light on her amazing talent, her short-lived meteoric career.
Yeah. I gotta be honest here. Like, I wasn't as much of a fan a couple of years back, and I've listened to so much of her music, unfortunately, since her passing, and I watched this doc, and I thought it was so relevant. I also thought it was pretty important. We're showing for to have a female performer. I wanted to highlight someone that was relevant. It's also not lost on me that there is a call for a large march on Washington that day by women about around election events. So I thought, what better if we're going to have a lot of people in town? Maybe there's something we could provide that would be a good viewing for a lot of those groups.
Well, it's a great lineup. So do you guys have any plans to extend it further beyond those four? Because I know you, Hamilton is one of six venues in D.C. Right. that applied for that pilot program.
Right.
It was like the Kennedy Center and Union Stage and a few others. Yeah. And I believe that pilot program is only until October 30th. So sort of explain to our listeners, you know, how you applied for that pilot program and what's the deal with that? Like, are you hoping to extend beyond the 30th?
So here's what we're doing. We applied for one of those first waivers that were offered back in June, and we weren't denied, but we were told, you know, at that time the mayor was not moving forward with any of them at that point. Soon after we announced our movie idea, we spoke to the mayor's office. We were contacted about the pilot program. In one sense, we're very excited. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to present live music. That's what the venue's all about. And I think all of us around the country are dying to hear some live music. But there's also some limitations on what they're doing in the pilot program. It's a limit of 50 people in the room, including band, crew, staff, and guests. So we're talking about probably having 40 people in the room. So the truth of the matter is, we don't look at these as really sort of revenue producing, profit making shows. We are looking at these as helping the city get live music back online. We're part of a pilot program. We've spent some time in the last week talking to the mayor's office and the Department of Health about how we're going to do this successfully. And they were very open about, we understand these are going to be challenging for you from a financial point of view, but we got to be able to put on live music in a small footprint so we know we can do it safely so we can get to you to the next stage. And I said, that seems like a right. We're sort of honored that we were chosen. We think we're good operators and we're going to participate. We're doing the concerts this week, the films this weekend and next weekend. And then the weekend of 23, 24, and the 30th, we're going to put on three live concerts in the venue following those guidelines. And truthfully, we're going to use the month of October to determine for us what's better to go forward. Because when we do the movies, we have a little bit more leeway on attendance. We can actually get 92 guests into the room with good viewing sites of these movies on the screen. So we may do that. The one we haven't announced yet, maybe I'll just a little announce for the audience here. So the 8 years that we run the Hamilton Live as a music venue, one of the most popular concerts we've done is The Last Waltz. We do it with Ronnie Neumeier and his local talent group, where they bring in about 30 artists who play all the roles of The Last Waltz. Well, because we know we won't be able to present that this November, we are in fact going to show The Last Waltz, the Scorsese movie, on that first weekend, the Friday and Saturday in November, where we do it. And we also, like they did at the original movie, what Bill Graham did, we serve a turkey dinner to everyone in the audience.
Oh, that's going to be great. Well, thanks for that little bit of breaking news here. Sure. you just to reiterate, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, usually it's a capacity of 700, and you said that now you think you can squeeze in about 92, you know, with the socially distanced stuff. Mm-hmm. Explain how that exactly works. Like, how many tables have you reduced it down to? How many people per table? That kind of thing.
Sure. So for the movies where I said it's 92, we have 17 tables that hold between 4 or 6 people. We are asking people, obviously, for those to buy the table, because I don't think we want to have guests mixing at that point. You know, if you come with a group of 4 or 6 from your bubble, you'll feel safe. We'll feel safe. We literally removed all the other tables. So instead of just walking into a room that you would look familiar to you with every other table sat, we thought it would be best to really just make it look safe also. So when you walk into that big 10,000 square foot room and see more than half the tables removed, you get a sense very quickly that you're in a different safe environment. And even more so for the live concerts, because the other particular for the live concerts of the pilot program is the audience has to be 30 feet away from audience to performer. So if you're familiar with the Hamilton, that takes out the front row of tables, the second row of tables. So literally in that set configuration of the room, we're going to have 4 tables on our last riser and then 3 tables behind them on the back wall. So there will be a bit of, like I called it, the moat between audience and band. But again, I think it's a pilot program. Everyone who's coming to it's going to understand that we're making it very clear. And again, I think there's not only do we want to get up and running, I believe there's an audience who wants to hear live music and is willing to join us for those kind of intimate performances.
Oh yeah. And we've talked so much about, you know, the concert and the movie concerts. Let's circle back full circle. Like we were talking in the beginning, it's also a dinner and a movie. So, you know, it's $100 per table food and beverage minimum, but you know, with 4 to 6 people, you could probably run that pretty quick. Remind us some of the great food you guys serve there. Obviously you don't have time to go through the whole menu, but it is, you know, in partnership with the same folks as Clyde's group and some of the highlights that people can order.
Sure. And this is something that's a little exciting and different for us, because for the years we ran the Hamilton concert venue downstairs, we had a limited menu because we were also running a 500 seat restaurant upstairs. For these sessions, we're actually going to feature the full Hamilton dinner menu. So steaks and chops, great sushi, beautiful seafood dishes. So, you know, the $100, and we were very sensitive about that, you know, the price tag on it. We literally made it so if you literally just came in and had a drink and something to eat, you're hitting the number. The idea is, well, we didn't want to do it because this, again, we are trying to reactivate the room, and this is about generating some revenue. What we didn't want is someone to come in and literally sit down, watch the movie, and have a soda and not generate any revenue for the restaurant or the staff working. So we think the price is very reasonable. Again, it's $100 per table, whether you're a four group or a six group. And again, get to have some of the great food that we feature upstairs in our dining room that's not always available down during the concerts.
Well, it's a great idea, and all the best to you guys. Hopefully the pilot program, you know, works out, and you guys just keep charging ahead, have that last waltz in November, and keep on going, because we need some events back. It's been a really rough year, so thanks for finding something we can all do, man.
Yeah, we got to get back trucking on.
Exactly. This is not the last waltz. All right, cool. Hey, thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.